2023 relating to providing real property tax exemptions provided for volunteer firefighters and ambulance workers in accordance with Section 466A and 466L of the real property tax law. The proposal for law is available for review on the town website and at the town clerk's office by order of the Catskill Town Board, Elizabeth Izzo, town clerk.
Okay, thank you. Any questions from the public regarding local law number 2?
Questions? I think it's a great thing.
Okay, thank you.
Do we need a motion?
Any further questions?
Motion to close the public hearing.
Motion by Jared to close the public hearing. Second by JR. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Okay, now we're going to go right into our regular board meeting. We have minutes from March 4th and March 19th to accept. Motion by Jared.
Second.
Second by Dawn. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Need a motion to adopt local law number 2 of 2025. Motion.
Motion.
Motion by Jared. Second. Second by Brian. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion's carried. Correspondence. We received the following. We received a letter from New York State Department of Public Works Broadband Internet Access for 2025. Green County Resolution Number 11625, authorizing chargeback assessment roll related to service and materials. Senior Exemption Number 2 notice. Catskill shares $2,083.70. Number 11725, authorizing chargeback of assessment roll related services and materials. Catskill shares $3,054.30. We received a letter from New York State DEC NY Alert Notifiers and contributing POSS, Point of Contact for Notifications, Cement and Sewer. We received a letter from New York State DEC NY Alert acknowledging of POSS registration for Leeds Jefferson Heights Sewer District. Notice of public hearing, Village of Catskill Zoning Board for an area variance at 458 Main Street, Catskill, March 19th. I believe that's passed. Right into continuing business. First up is cemetery doors. We have received the quotes. Jared or Brian, you want to take this?
Once, it looks like with the updated quote that Madsen and Brian Ryan's comes in like $200 less than CNR. I don't know, did you do the same math?
No, I just knew that it came in less.
Yeah, so I would basically go with, and did you double confirm with Kirsten that, because I heard that you weren't sure where the money was coming from,
mm-hmm.
and I cleared with Kirsten that we have enough perpetual interest to cover it.
Okay. I saw a spreadsheet from Kirsten that showed it was one of the accounts that only like $28 in it.
Yeah, but I verified with her that we had enough perpetual, we have $12,000 in perpetual interest.
Okay.
So I think we should move forward with Brian with being deconstruction and then Madsen to do the project of the new door at the cemetery.
Okay. Motion by Jared. Second.
Second.
Second by Dawn. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion's carried.
Liz, we're going to try to coordinate that just so the building's not open for very long, so I don't want to... I'll talk to the contractor before... and Madsen to make sure the doors come in the same day he's doing the work so we don't have to leave the...
Okay.
Okay. Next up. An MOU with the town of Carroll regarding dog control officer. JR, you want to just touch on this briefly since you're the mastermind behind this?
Well, the reason why I wanted to obviously do this is because our DCO has been going out to Carroll for several calls now. And it's costing the taxpayers of Catskill to go out there to pick up a dog. So that being said, I wanted to put an MOU in place with other municipalities so that if we go out there, that they would pay for our time to bring the dog to the animal shelter. And if everybody's in favor of it, I'd like to make a motion on it if we need to.
Motion by... JR?
I'll second the motion of the supervisor sign the MOU.
Second by Jared and Dawn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you for doing the legwork on this, JR. It's greatly appreciated. And it's another one of these areas where the town of Catskill and the town of Carroll are actually working together unlike what's happened in the past. And, you know, we're working together with the water line for country states in that area. So it's nice that both boards are on the same page. Good cause eviction is next up. So I know Elliot and Company's here. He asked me last week at the village board meeting if I wanted them to come. And I said they're more than welcome to come and just explain some stuff to us, maybe help us understand this process. I know the last time you guys were here, we talked about Jefferson Heights and Leeds would mainly be the areas in the town that this could benefit. I don't see it doing much out in Kiskatom and Palinville and Cement area. I mean, maybe I could be wrong, but I don't think there's a lot of rentals out that way.
I have a petition here that was that we utilized last year, last summer, and we have 61 names on this. I just also wanted to just bring this to the board. Corderskill Road, Brick Schoolhouse Road, Pennsylvania Avenue, Maple Grove Road, Mountain House Road, High Falls Road, Maiden Avenue, Mossy Hill Road, Schoharie Turnpike, High Falls Road, New Street, and that's, that should be the village actually, Turkey Creek. There are a lot of tenants that we have outside of just Jefferson Heights. So right. This is going to help people.
But I have a question for you. Maybe you can clarify a little more for you. Reading the law and everything, it doesn't affect single-family dwellings. It doesn't affect duplexes. It doesn't affect any developments that take HUD.
Actually, you get to set the number of units that the town would like to see.
That's not what I was reading in the literature you just gave us.
The village created one, created it that a landowner is considered a person who has one unit. So that's it, that's one of the things the good cause of eviction was that the town, the municipality, can set its parameters for that.
Okay, because I was reading the literature you had sent us saying. Yeah.
I understood it that if it was one unit, it wouldn't apply.
Well, right. The town would take up that one separately and encompass everything.
If that's what's inside yours, then I apologize because it should have said in the thing, and I'm pretty sure it does, in the actual the resolution, there's a section where it says that the town, the municipality sets.
Puts in the amount.
Yeah. There's two things that are determined by the municipality. It's what the minimum size in terms of how many units there are, and then what percentage above market value for rent is considered luxury housing, because it's only covering up to luxury housing. So if, I don't know, $1,000 is like the fair market value for a one bedroom, and you're like, oh, it's 300% of that is what we consider luxury. So a one bedroom at $3,000, then everything up to $3,000 is protected by it. So those are the two things, is what's considered a luxury apartment that doesn't need this, and what the smallest amount of apartments are that are covered by this. That's what's decided by the municipality.
I think it's actually it's worded as the tenant is considered as an owner of one unit.
One unit.
That's what you said.
So then I guess I have that question too, because I understood it to be even a house, but it's just an apartment?
Yeah, it's just an apartment. I mean, if you're paying a mortgage, then you're not paying rent in the same way. It's if you are a tenant to a landlord, then
okay,
that's
but like
tenant.
I rent my house to
yes.
you, so that's you're my tenant.
That would be a unit.
So it's a unit.
That's okay. A unit, correct.
Okay, I was reading the Good Cause Eviction Protections for New York State Municipalities, the Housing Justice for All.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the recommendations for adopting it says units built within the last 30 years starting in 2009. Public housing units wouldn't qualify. Units rented from co-op and condos, manufactured housing units wouldn't qualify. Units in owner-occupied buildings with fewer than 11 units wouldn't qualify. So that's what I was reading.
Right. Owner-occupied units is a different thing. That if the owner is living inside the home, and they're also renting the other apartments, then that does not qualify in that case. But that's not one unit.
Hi, my name is Eliza Dichter. I live in the town. I live in Kiskatama. I spoke last time. I sent you guys an email. I am new to this, so I'm not as educated as all these folks are, so I'm trying to learn because I'm really curious. So I was like, what's this LLC thing? And I just like went and peeked at our tax map, and I was like, look how many of these areas around me are all owned by LLCs and not people. And then I was like looking, and I didn't do it like carefully, but I was like, how many apartments are in my area and in my community, like where I live, and then how many Airbnbs are? And I mean, this isn't about Airbnbs, but it's like a thing for me because our streets are empty. You know, I have a kid. It's like a weird thing. It's cut a couple places on my block. Anyway, so I was like looking around and I found this document where they aggregated the housing data for the town and for other towns. And so it looks like what it says here, this says like since, in the town, as of, they had the median rent as of 2022 compared to 2017, so I'm not sure how updated this is, maybe it's in the last few years. But they had, in the town, we have 1,270 two-plus unit buildings, which and there's only 566 in the village, so we probably have, you know, the other half of that, I think, if that's the way they're doing it. And what they did was the number of renters that would be covered if we did, like, the bare minimum of adopting it versus the number of renters in our community who are applicable if we did, like, the actual strong one that, you know, kind of gets, removes the loopholes. And they said 21% of our renters in our town would be covered if we did like the bare minimum, and 78 would be covered by this by the more effective one that kind of goes up higher to like whatever it is. I think it's like 350 of the fair market or whatever it is. So I don't, you know, I was like looking around and curious because I also was like, how many people do we actually have? You know. And it looks like it's actually a fair number of people, and a fair number of people who, you know, in these rate increases, it's almost 20% in our town, the rent for, you know, folks who are renting. I'm not renting, but I did rent for a long time when I moved here, and that was 25 years ago, and I've seen a lot of great things, and I'm so grateful to the town for all the things you've done for our town. So anyway, I have like more stuff that I've been trying to learn about it, but that seemed like, I was like, does it really apply? It does really apply, but it certainly doesn't apply. Like, if we rent in our house and I've got an issue with that tenant, you know, that's my home. So the owner-occupied thing, I think, alleviates a lot of people's concerns. And then the strong, good cause would really, I think, prevent a lot of, like, evictions or whatever. I also just did this thing that was like, I went on Reddit, which I know is, like, a really big, yucky place on the internet, but I was like, Palin's eviction. Jefferson Heights eviction, whatever. And it was totally people being like, my landlord wants to evict me, what can I do? Does anybody know a place I can squat? I work here, I can't get to, you know, it was like real people's stories, the same stuff we heard when the people tried to speak at the village. So, you know, I don't represent a renter, but my kids' friends, you know, I think I mentioned last time we had a friend who was recently evicted. It's like, you know, it's in our lives and it's in all of our lives. So, anyway, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I also just wanted to say that Village Board President Joe Kowalski and actually the rest of the whole board actually sat down with some of the with two people who are part of the New York law group, and they explained this law to them. It's really important to recognize that if you're a good landlord, this is not going to affect you. This is about the bad landlords. This is about the landlords who are taking advantage of people, and especially in a time of a housing crisis. So I just wanted to let you guys know that that's the best thing about it, is that this is, yeah.
Well, my biggest concern is these, and it still confuses me because it says many exemptions that limit the scope of the law in addition to requiring localities to opt in, the law excludes units built within the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Units rented from co-op and condos, units in owner-occupied buildings with fewer than 11 units. So does that mean the town can't put good cause on an owner-occupied building with fewer than 11 units? The town can't put good cause on a building older than 2009?
If it's
newer than 2009, I mean?
If it's owner-occupied, no, they cannot. Good cause does not work on that. It's true. It's one of the things that was set. It's also true that...
Because I'm just struggling with, I don't think it...
But owner occupied.
I can see in the village where it applies more than in the town. Because I don't know of only one development big enough in the town that this would apply to, and that's in Jefferson Heights.
Wait, so you're confused about which part? That about the, if it's 11 or more units and groups in it?
Well, 11 or more units, but we only have one parcel. Well, we only have one development that fits that.
So it's not just that. It's that, it's if you guys set it, depending on what you set it to, it's any person. If it's not someone living in it, if someone's renting it out to someone else as just a tenant,
right? As long as there's one.
What?
As long as there's a minimum of one who's that.
Yeah, and so I guess. I mean, it sounds like there's only one large development that you're thinking it applies mostly to, but I think the thing is that there's a lot of houses that are being split up and used as apartments, not necessarily as like clearly as a big development that this is also targeting. And I think also the thing about this is that this is only like one layer of this kind of housing legislation that's not meant to be super common. You know,
and then the other question, so it doesn't apply to manufactured housing, so all the trailer parks are exempt.
The trailer parks, there's a new bill for trailer parks, and what we're trying to do is we're trying to press the on top of it.
Because that seems, the trailer parks seem to be a bigger issue with the rent going up, the lot rent, than it is with, I see more of that issue.
Well, you say bigger issue, but no, it's an equal issue. It's not a bigger issue.
Well, as far as the town goes, with the amount of trailer parks
we have more trailer parks. Separate people who say that they want this in the town, who say that this is an issue for their town.
Right.
She just read over some numbers, so it goes beyond just the trailer parks. I can understand what you're saying, but the REST Act is something that the REST Act is another thing. The REST Act is going to take away the fact that apartments only after 1970. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to take away that. It's going to take away the fact about trailer parks. Like, that'll be taken away in the REST Act. But the REST Act is a different thing. That's an afterthought from a good cause. So that'll be the next thing.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out where this applies most in the town, and I see a bigger.
It's going to apply to a lot of.
As far as townwide, the trailer park rent, lot rent, is a bigger townwide issue than it is a.
Well, can I also offer that I think like the thing that's also anticipating is like the trend that not a lot of people now are able to afford houses that they even were able to before COVID, and like the price of houses are really increasing. And with that, people are being forced also to change. Like, I have a single family house, I can't sell it to anyone. What am I going to have to do with it? And we just don't know what the state of housing is going to be, so it's also anticipatory. So, like, right now, it's great that a lot of people own their homes, and this is it. But then also, we don't know in, like, 5 years what kind of changes can happen. There's still lots of people moving up, lots of people who aren't interested necessarily in buying a home yet. And so it's just a safeguard for that, too. You know, and if it doesn't make sense, then we repeal it, but... In like the meantime, it's just like, oh, there might be too many people moving up at a time, and it would be difficult then to kind of figure out what to put as safeguards. So it is anticipatory more for the town than maybe it is immediately applicable for the village.
I guess that's what I like see with this is like, why wouldn't we do this? It's a way to keep 500 people from being evicted unfairly, or what the number was, and. You know, who's to say those 500 people matter less than like 1,000 people or 2,000 people? Like, that's still 500 people that could be without a home if their landlord decides that. And to me, we live in a small town, and the beauty of a small town is being able to take care of each other. And this is a way that we can really take care of people now, next year, the next year. I just don't see a downside to being pro housing, like to getting ahead of these like problems. And so that's my argument for this. I'm just like, there doesn't seem to be a real big downside with this. Like we said, last time we had landlords come and speak, and they were up there arguing with us, and then once they heard the law, they were like, oh, okay, I'm down with this. And so I just don't think it's like really an inflammatory law.
Right.
I was just going to add, with increased protection for renters, which is appropriate, is there a same level of increased protection for the... person who's renting the property? So is the issue equally mitigated? So now the renter is getting greater protection, but does the landlord or property owner also have appropriate grounds to evict when it's appropriate?
I think I can speak to this a little bit, but we folks who've done more on this would know. I think the point about this is that it clarifies things, And so because it clarifies things, if you've done improvements to your property and somebody brings this, it all has to go to the courts anyway. This isn't like it magically happens if like I have a bad landlord and somehow like you guys somehow magically have like sprinkled dust and they stop. It's like they still have to go to court. So if I have like if we bought the property next door to the people who did and we decided to rent it out and we're not living there, if I'm making improvements and they try to bring me to court under this law, I say, no, this law says if I make improvements. So my sense was, and that's what I heard from the landlord discussion when they did it at the village, was that like landlords can still, you know, proceed with what they think is the appropriate care, and that there's a lot more clarity so that they know what that rent limit is, as opposed to going to a judge and saying the person says you raised it too much, or the landlord says it wasn't too much, and there's, you know, there's a lot less basis. So now a landlord can know what's a level I can, you know, what's under the law that I can raise it to. If I'm making improvements, if I make improvements and I raise the rent, that's not in violation. Like, there's a lot more clarity.
And they can still stick to a contractual. If it's a 1-year lease and the lease is up, they still have grounds to...
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's not about that. It really is, I think, more about, like, this instability and people who are doing stuff, like leaving stuff empty because they know that they can get more money for it, you know, those kinds of things. So I think what folks are saying is it's really about folks who are taking advantage. And I think for the most part, it's probably not like those of us who have been living here and are committed to the community, because we have a different stake in the people who move into the community. And I think I just noticed the difference. So it's like absentee landlords and things like that, I think, is really what it would protect our town from. And it's for the folks that live here and we're trying to negotiate, you know, I make some money, some income from this. This was my, you know, mother-in-law's house or whatever. It's just like a lot clearer. So you know how to stay within the rules, and you know that your person can't bring like a frivolous housing court case against you. So that was my understanding, was just, and for all of you, was that because it's so much clearer, then it's like, no, actually, it is okay that they evicted you, because look, it says right here, they can evict you if you're a disturbance. They can evict you if you're refusing to pay a rent when they just put it in a boiler. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have a case. So I think it becomes easier for both sides in that sense. So it's actually a lot of clarity, and, you know, I think isn't particularly restrictive. There was this moment that was kind of amazing when somebody stood up and said, if I can't raise my rent, you know, to raise the rent on my tenants, it's gonna, and then somebody said, wait, hold on, you actually could raise your rent to that level that you're saying? And they were like, oh. They said, you just can't raise it, you know, beyond 10% more, whatever the number was the village was discussing. And they were like, oh, that's fine. But I could if I made a permit. Yeah. And this person who like came to be the advocate on the other side sat down and was like, oh, I misunderstood my objection, I think, because there's a lot of misinformation. So that's my, I don't know if you all have any other clarifications.
Just if someone breaks the lease, you can always evict them. Like, if they, like, do something that is outlined in the lease that is not available or not acceptable, you can evict them.
Like moving 4 more people into the house.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep, right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Breaking a law, any of that. Like I said, it's like definitely not anti-landlord.
No, my other question is the... who sets the fair market value?
It's determined by, what is it? The Department of... It's calculated and published by the state. And so you'd have to look it up.
So it's something Audrey would have access to.
Yeah, I was just wondering, do you know what the fair market value is in Catskill currently? Or?
I don't know what the fair market value is. I mean, I do...
I mean, so my question is, say we go through this and everything, and a landlord's currently renting one for $900 a month, but then the fair market value comes out. Can they go right to fair market value with the rent once we pass this law?
So you're,
no.
What are you, so you're saying...
Why can't they?
So someone signs a lease.
Yeah.
So we pass...
has good cause.
Good cause.
Yes.
All right, which bases everything off fair market.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That,
right.
Say someone's charging under fair market.
And they want to raise their rent.
They just want to go to...
They can't.
They can't just go to
as long
market?
As,
at the end of the lease.
As long as there's a lease in place, but at the end of the
lease.
What if someone's renting month to month?
At the end of the month.
Then you could do it.
You would well, but you understand my concern here is that people are renting below fair market.
Yes.
Right.
And then
they can raise the rent anyways. If
at the end of the month.
Place,
yeah.
Right, but what I'm saying is they could raise more than they're thinking, because now we're saying what the fair market is in the town and this is what you should be charging?
Sure, but it's just providing information to them that they can look up themselves, I guess. It's like, yeah, if we're scared to like say it first, then yeah, but...
I'm a bit confused by it because I'm trying to, I understand what you're saying, sort of. So you're saying that if a person is charging, let's say, $900,
yeah,
and then we pass good clause, and they're like, oh, good clause passed, and it says that I should be charging fair market, which is, let's say, $1,100. Oh, I can jump up to $1,100. Okay, the person can do that, but they probably wouldn't do that. But yes, they could do that.
Okay, I was wondering.
They could do that.
So that opens the door, because the 10% wouldn't apply to that. The 10% wouldn't apply to that because they're under fair market.
No, okay. So no, this is not how it works. If you're charging $900, regardless of what the fair market value is,
you can only go 10%.
The contract expires.
Then you could do it.
You have to do either by the rate of inflation plus 5% or 10%, whichever is lower.
Okay.
Billage 10%. If you do it more than 10%, that's considered increasing it more than inflation, and that's excluding if you don't do repairs, if you don't do something that you need to charge the tenant for. So if all of a sudden tomorrow it's $2,000 for fair market value, you cannot increase it to that level because that's above
the 10% threshold.
It's okay. A different thing if you're in between tenants and you're like, you know, I need to charge more for this. My tenant doesn't want to live here anymore. You can increase it to whatever you want. But of course that's the supply and demand of if you increase that level, it's going to be less people able to rent it. That's where your choice comes in.
Now, is that going to work with lot rentals as well?
He said they haven't passed anything yet for trailer parks.
There's not rentals?
Mm-hmm. Trailer parks, you said that's another law.
Yeah,
unfortunately, it's
not.
I did a lot of reading today. I think you are anticipating the stuff that lots of other folks anticipated, because there's literally something I read and printed out because I thought it was so interesting, was this thing about the three things that you all get to choose from, which is, you know, close the LLC loophole, make it be the one unit so you can't do it that way. The second one is the exemption threshold. So it's when that's where the fair market comes in. So the fair market rent, you can say, this only applies to things at fair market rent. You could say this only applies to things 10% over fair market rent. And this literally says our recommendation is to set the exemption at 345%. Mm-hmm. Because if it's too close to current fair market rental, it'll become an incentive for landlords to increase the rent above to get exempt. Because what's exempt is like the super luxury places. So the reason that, you know, because the compromises for how it got passed at the state level kind of watered everything down so much, I think the reason that folks who are like, we have to make this actually effective for people said, set that level as high as you can. I think, which is part of what I think the village did something similar, and most of the places, I think all the places in the past that have done this, is exactly for, I think, that thing that you're talking about, which is if my rental is eligible, then, you know, I'm gonna get a rent, I'm gonna raise my rent, put it to a level of market. But if we make sure that we're saying, yeah, it's not just the fair market rent, it's actually anybody renting up to like 300% of that or 350% of that or whatever we're allowed to do is the strongest version, that's the difference that then ends up with like 78% of people covered versus 20% of people covered, and stops that kind of greedy, sneaky stuff that people could do, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. All right, thank you. That was a good discussion.
Yeah.
Are we ready to set a public hearing for this, or what's the thought of the board?
Yeah, I have got a lot of stuff clarified.
I think it would be helpful if we can get those individuals from the state that were at the village meeting.
I'll put them in touch with those this week.
To be at that meeting.
Yep.
Everybody want to move forward with this? Brian?
I'm good.
Right, so when would we like to do the public hearing? Our workshop is the 16th. I don't know if we want to do something like this at a workshop or if we want to do it at our May 6th meeting, which is a regular meeting.
What's the regular meeting?
Do you want to do May 6th at 6:30?
Sure.
Okay, motion to schedule a public hearing for good cause.
Motion
by Jared,
second
by Dawn for May 6th at 6:30. All in favor?
Aye.
Local Law 3, yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, up next, we've been through a process of doing interviews for a planning board, zoning board, and part-time code enforcement clerk. We have an applicant. Jared, do you have her information?
Tylene Benjamin.
Tylene Benjamin has been through an interview with a couple council people, as well as the department head and planning and zoning board chairs, and she is their recommendation. So with that, I need a motion to approve her pending background drug screen and physical.
Make a motion.
Make
second.
A motion by JR, second by Dawn. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Ambulance union negotiation, we received a letter from their union. Kirsten has compiled all the requested information. I will send that to them hopefully by the end of this week, and we'll look to schedule a meeting maybe within a week or two. I'll sit on it, I don't know, you know, or two other members can sit on it, doesn't matter. But once I have some dates, I'll pass that along to the board and we can figure out who's going to sit on the meetings. Any questions with the... I haven't heard anything from Highway, so I'll go back to them because they're also up this year.
Yeah.
Season work, as everybody knows, the brush dump is opening. Sean Beers, the Highway Superintendent, would like to hire Paul Omrod back at the rate of $16.39 an hour.
Is that the applicable rate?
Yep. So we'll have a motion.
Motion.
Motion by everybody, second by everybody.
Unanimous.
Motion carried. We have a request. We received this request about a month ago, but we wanted to do it at a regular board meeting to suspend the noise ordinance for a summer concert at the Griffin House on June 28th. I think this is a great event for Palinville. It's a great event for the town of Catskill, and I wholeheartedly support.
And it's just until 11, right?
Yep.
Just an hour.
Yeah.
So we know we'll get complaints. Because we get complaints when it's till 10 o'clock. So I'm fine with it.
I mean, we've got...
I've heard this too. I've been to the Griffin House for the last one that they had, but it was amazing. So I think that we should do this.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It brings in so many people. Like,
yep, absolutely.
The Lodge was amazing that weekend. The Farmers Market was amazing that weekend. It's worth it.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you. So motion by Dawn.
Motion. Second.
Second by JR. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion approved. Some food for thought. So 7 years ago, maybe, we took out a capital improvement bond for town buildings that included the highway and town hall. That bond is up. I would like to do another capital improvement project and a bond for the senior center, anything that we want to do here at town hall, the ambulance building. Highway's pretty much set for a while. They've got a new roof, new doors. But our other buildings need some TLC. I don't have a figure set. I think our last bond was $500,000.
$550,000, one of those.
I don't know if we need to go that high, but if we can, within the next 2 weeks, just come up with some ideas as to what we want to do to our buildings.
We have a total on the roofs.
Yep.
So we know the roofs have to be done.
Yep.
And actually, we have to add a roof because the roof on top of the bathrooms at Ricky Kramer's shop.
We could do a bunch of stuff that Ricky Kramer, the board, wants for the capital budget. As long as it's spelled out in the bond documents.
No, I'm just saying, if we're doing roofs, we need to do that one, yeah, too.
Absolutely. The whole bathroom building up there needs to be redone.
Yeah.
And we've done so much so far, we should really make it a complete thing. So then we can have a every 5 years, whatever.
Yep. So it's just food for thought. You know, maybe at our workshop meeting in 2 weeks, we can... like laid out some ideas as to what we want to do, and I'll get some prices from the bank in Greene County and decide how we want to proceed with that.
Sounds good.
All right. Need a motion to advertise for summer recreation positions for the upcoming summer rec. It's it's assistant counselor and counselors, I think, are their official titles. If not, we'll have them done when we hire them.
Second.
We're going to advertise the entire month of April, I think, Barb suggested. And then we'll hire the first meeting in May because we have to do CPR, background checks and CPR
trainings.
Training in order to be in compliance with Department of Health.
Make the motion to go out and advertise for summer rent counselors.
Motion by Jared, second by Brian. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Memorial Day letter. So I was at the village board meeting last week. The village approved our request to do the parade down Main Street this year. Lineup is going to be on Church Street at 1 o'clock. We're going to step off at 2 o'clock. This is May 26th. Liz reached out to the county to get permission for the use of the stairs. The county granted us permission, and the state also granted us the permission. We have the okay to use the gazebo. I think everything's set for the Memorial Day Parade. We've had a couple of patriotic committee meetings. Anybody in the audience that ever wants to join a committee, this is, the Memorial Day Committee is fun. And it's for a good cause, and it's just something that I'm proud to be a part of. I know Jared and Brian, or JR and Brian are also part of it.
I want to hear about the cannon. How'd the cannon shake out?
Working on it. We know where the cannon is. It's in good hands. Work on it.
I was thrilled to hear we have a town cannon.
It was actually a village cannon.
It was a village cannon. There's a long story behind that. Spectrum Franchise has sent us an updated agreement for theirs. It's a standard agreement. These franchise agreements, I kind of don't like raising, because if we want to raise more, they just pass it on to the end user, which is our taxpayer.
And the less, what's happening now is the less people getting cable, it's increasing the payments for people that are still on, and that's generally senior citizens.
Right.
So I wouldn't increase the franchise fee at all.
Yeah, leave it. So what Jared means by that is, if you have Spectrum just to watch TV, there's a franchise fee. But if you only have Spectrum for internet or Mid-Hudson cable, there's no franchise fee, because you're streaming internet.
I see.
Okay, so is that a motion for me to sign the...
No. You can't do that. You have to have a public hearing.
Oh, that's right. So we need to set a public hearing for Spectrum franchise agreement.
Do that on Wednesday?
You want to do... Yeah, we can do that.
We'll do that for the workshop.
That is the 16th. So, motion for a public hearing for the Spectrum franchise agreement for April 16th at 6:30.
Motion.
Motion by Jared, second by Dawn. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. All right, before we go to public comment, we have other things. Let's see, summer rec. We've had a surplus ambulance that's been listed on Auctions International for, I believe it was 10 days. Yesterday was the closing date. Our head mechanic sent us an email this morning asking to approve the sale of the surplus ambulance for $4,350. I have a motion to approve that.
Motion.
Second. Motion by Jared, second by Brian. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
I would vote for that.
What's that?
I need a new car.
I just said, I was like, that's
what's wrong with it?
It's old.
It's old.
A lot of miles.
We tried giving it away to some
organization. We were going to try to donate it, and that didn't work.
They didn't work.
Yeah, go ahead. It's one of your things.
So we got some good news today. The use and occupancy permit application that we applied for the Palinville Pocket Park, which is in the hamlet of Palinville. Obviously, we have a couple more things we got to do. It's a lengthy process, but we're moving in the right direction for the youth in the hamlet of Palinville. So,
nice.
And that's important for our community, right, for our youth. So once again, it's for everybody, for the town of Catskill and people who live here in the village as well to use. So we're still have some process to go, but we're going in the right direction.
So you want to make a motion for me to sign that agreement with DC? Or
I'd like to make a motion to sign that agreement.
Second.
Motion by JR, second by Dawn. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. I think that was all I had. Does anybody else have anything before we go to public comment?
Yes. In reviewing the original local law as far as the construction yards,
mm-hmm.
it did have special use in MR and RA. And I'd like to add that back to the law that we did.
Okay.
So what do we need Ted to?
Draft it.
Draft
it. Have a public hearing.
Okay. So is Ted back from you, sir?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'll email Ted this week and we'll get that and we'll schedule after, maybe we can, on our May 6th meeting, we can schedule a public hearing.
Okay. Brian? Dawn?
I'll just update everybody on the senior center. Can't find my email, but I think it was 359.
359, yeah. For the month of March.
359 people attended for the month of March, and there's a lot of activities happening in April, so our seniors should all come and visit the senior center every day. It's a fun place for everybody. I might start going there soon.
You qualify?
I do. You know what?
Wow.
That was.
I got 5 years and I could go.
That was a nice chair.
The public song.
Yeah. The public heard that.
We're going to have to go in an executive session for a personal matter.
With that, I'd like to open the floor up to public comment.
Yes. We would like to invite the town board to seize the power back from Central Hudson at Left Bank on Sunday, this Sunday, at 12 p.m. We are going to be hosting Assembly Women Sarahana Tulsa, and
what was that?
I'm sorry.
What was it called?
It's called the Hudson Valley Power Authority Act, and it's a bill that's being presented by Sarahana Tulsa and Senator Michelle Lynch. And it's basically creates a state-owned corporation called the Hudson Valley Power Authority that will be authorized to acquire Central Hudson and take the and run it as a publicly owned and democratic energy for no profit. So we're doing this presentation on Sunday, and we'd love to invite you guys to come in and learn about it, because we will be asking about every municipality is being asked to pass a resolution letting the governor know that we would like to see this happen.
And it would lower prices, hopefully.
I get all that.
The biggest argument is, whenever the government involved, prices go up.
Yeah.
Well, then these are the questions you should ask them.
because I'll send you the one sheet on this. This says that the plan is that we would lower the prices. And lower the prices exponentially.
Because we want the prices lower too. So we'll be growing them just as much.
Very few prices get lowered in the state of New York. And I just
It also worries me that New York State is going to be in charge of this. You know, we don't have the... It worries me that the state will, you know...
You guys should come and ask the questions. Because we want to know...
I mean, if the power goes out at 9 o'clock, you're expecting a state worker to show up and fix it?
Right.
That's a question to ask.
Yeah,
we did make the vote.
Yeah,
right. No, that's the biggest fear is when government takes over an enterprise, when instead of it being responsible to its customers and customer service, and now it's a government-owned operation. I mean, call the Social Security Administration. How good is their customer service? Not.
Yeah.
You guys are the board. You have a lot of weight. And they do. They're here presenting because they really do care about what the community is saying. And so, if you bring these concerns and you don't support the resolution because X, Y, Z, I think this is the place to get mm-hmm. here.
Yeah. No, I've been researching and reading about it. My biggest fear is I just don't trust the bureaucrats.
Yeah. Her.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
I have a question on someone else's behalf, so I'll ask that first. Do you know what they're running in the electric line? Is it high voltage DC?
Yes.
Yes, great. On 23B in Leeds, do you know why they're moving the poles to the other side? Does that have anything to do with the impending sidewalk, or is that... Did you notice that? Yeah, they put a... Just on the other side of my place,
yep.
Larry's, they put a pole, and I think it's a new pole. I don't think there were any over there.
Down by Weasel? Down in that area?
Yeah, just past...
Yeah, because that was laying there over the fall. They just put it in, right?
Well, they put one by Brower.
They've been putting new poles in all over the place. 5 mile, 23D.
But they put one across the street. I was just wondering if it had anything to do with the sidewalk.
I don't think so. They're not that far in the planning stage yet for that. I thought you were going to ask about the streetlight.
Well, then I was like, don't put a streetlight on that thing. You'll kill me.
Like, I was going to say, yeah, they're going to light up the whole corridor.
I'm so glad it's baseball. Yeah.
Anybody else? All right, I'll entertain a motion. Actually, thank everybody for coming. I know the board appreciates you. I appreciate it when people from the public are actually in our meetings.
Thank you for listening.
And not just the reporter.
And not just the reporter. Even though we appreciate you being here.
Yes.
With that, motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Motion by Jared, second by JR. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
It just...